Good morning and the Lord's blessing. What a wonderful time of worship. Thank you, Pastor Nate and worship team. We can lift up the Lord and we can sing glory and praises unto his most holy name. As no surprise to anyone, this is Thanksgiving 2023. And I suspect that most of us know the history or the tradition of Thanksgiving in this country or in the United States, and perhaps even throughout North America. But did you know that the theme of Thanksgiving goes way back further than any celebration that we've ever had in North America or in this country? And I draw our attention this morning to Psalm number 92, verses 1 to 5. If you are looking at the Pew Bible, it's on page 890, but then we will see the words on the screen in front of you this morning. So let us hear the word of God. It is good to praise the Lord, and to make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord! How profound your thoughts! This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In summary this morning, as believers in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we want to be forever living a life of thankfulness and praise. It's our duty to be thankful. It's a major activity in which we should be involved. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, we discover there are three areas in which we are to be thankful. The psalmist indicates a spiritual thankfulness, a personal thankfulness, and a musical thankfulness. Spiritual thankfulness. We read this: it is good to praise the Lord and to make music to your name, O Most High. There's a certain level of praying and praise that seems to be beyond our ability sometimes. Sometimes we just cannot think of the words that we ought to use in order to be thankful to God and to praise his name. We sort of run out of words in our own vocabulary. As most of you know, I usually go on a daily prayer walk. And while I'm there and going on the walk, very often I feel the Lord's presence so profoundly that I just simply want to stretch out my arms as though I were going to reach around Jesus and give him a great hug in thankfulness for who he is and what he's done for us, and the fact that God sent his Son, Jesus, into this world to pay for your sin and mine. We try to be good. We try to improve in everything that we do. But the truth of the matter is, we can never be good enough on our own to get through the gates of heaven. What we need to do is rely on someone else who's paid the price for us. And Jesus is the one who has paid the price. And for this, I give thanks. And I'm so overwhelmed by it as I'm walking along in prayer time or other times that I just want to say praise to the Lord. Some of you will see me walking on occasion. I have my little cards in my hand to keep my mind on whom I'm praying for. But then in the process, sometimes I just want to praise God out loud. There's a spiritual thankfulness that we ought to express. We ought to be doing it with great consistency. Also, there's a personal thankfulness. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. Now, many years ago, a group of believers got together and they wrote what is known as the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And this is a series of 107 questions and 107 answers. But the first question is, what is the chief aim of man? And the first answer is to glorify God and to praise him forever. To glorify God and to praise him forever. This is something that you and I, as believers, ought to be doing always, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. A couple of weeks ago, I was walking to the hospital from the parking lot to visit with someone who was in the hospital. It was Dean that I was visiting in the Campbellford Hospital. Now, as I was walking from the parking lot to the main entrance of the hospital, a man and a lady were walking along the sidewalk and coming into the hospital as well. It was an absolutely glorious and beautiful day. I think the man was there with his mother. At any rate, I said, good morning. And he said, good morning. And I said, what a beautiful day to praise the Lord. And he was getting closer to me by this time. And he said, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. My Lord Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, and I serve no other. And I said, well, praise be to God. And I put forth my hand to shake hands. He said, no, I want to give you a hug. So there we were, two men in the parking lot at the Campbellford Memorial Hospital, giving a hug to each other. But how wonderful it was, just a word of good morning and a word to say, we want to praise the Lord for this beautiful day. This man reacted. Actually, he went on with one other thing. He said, are you visiting somebody in the hospital? I said, yes, I am. Oh, he says, you must be a good pastor. Well, wasn't that kind of him to say? But you see, there is a spiritual thankfulness and there is a personal thankfulness. Thankfulness to Almighty God for who He is and what He's done. The very fact that He sent His Son into this world to pay the price for you and for me. That is a reason why we need to be forever thankful unto Him. And then there is a musical thankfulness. The psalmist said, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. I'm just going to hesitate there, because when we think about it, when it says to proclaim your love in the morning, what a wonderful thing for you and me to do, first thing in the morning, to thank the Lord for His love, to thank the Lord for His blessing, to thank the Lord for all that He gives to us. And then, it's the psalmist said, and your faithfulness at night. Wonderful way to close the day. Close the way by praising God for His faithfulness to me. We are not always as faithful to the Lord as we know we ought to be. But let me tell you this, God is always absolutely faithful to us. His faithfulness never leaves us, never diminishes. His faithfulness is always there, always there. And then the psalmist says, to the music of the 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp. This 10-string instrument, we are told that in Old Testament days that the musicians who played the 10-string instrument, I don't know if it was much like our modern day 12-string guitar or not, but anyway, they were playing the instruments. And we are told that many musicians would pray in the morning, praise unto God, and then play and pray in the evening, praise unto God, playing the 10-string instrument. Now, I'm encouraging us to be thankful all the time. I remember hearing a message on one occasion using the word, this word, these words. First of all, there's giving and forgiving and thanksgiving. And when you think about it, this is the Christian life. Giving, always giving, forgiving, always forgiving. And I'm going to hesitate there for a moment, because sometimes we go through difficulties in life. And the difficulty is just building up and building up and building up. And it's because we have not forgiven someone. Now, people hurt us. All the time, people will hurt us. Even church members will hurt us on occasion. Some neighbor will hurt us. Somebody said something that ought not to be said, or didn't say something that we thought they should have said. And we are hurt. But there is a solution. The solution is forgiving. We always need to forgive. I remember talking to a lady some years ago, and she had been abused physically when she was a young girl by an uncle. And she'd never forgiven him for this, always held on to this grudge, wanted to have vengeance of some nature. But anyway, after a chat with this lady, I said to her, I understand it's hurtful. I understand all that's happened to you. It's a shame, and you've held on to it all these years. But what you need to do is forgive. Forgive. Remember this, it's not our job to seek vengeance or to get even. The Lord will do it. He loves you, He loves me, and if any vengeance is to be taken, the Lord will do it. Any way to try and get even, the Lord will do it. But our job is to forgive. And when we forgive in our heart, it cleanses our soul. No longer do we hold on to that grudge. And as a result, our life is free. This is a way in which you and I can be thankful. Also, as I was thinking about today being Thanksgiving Sunday, and thinking back to last Sunday, when we were talking about a very serious time that's coming ahead for this world, and it's called the time of tribulation. I'm thinking of Israel this morning, and I'll have more to say about that during our adult Bible class. But I'm just thinking they're always in a position of having to receive something from others which is not good. And Israel has all these bombings. We heard yesterday there were 100 people who were killed. This morning we hear that there are 600 people who were killed, and many people kidnapped and taken by the Palestinians away from their homeland, their home country, their home itself. What a shame is going on. Now, this is a time of tribulation for Israel. But I can tell you it's nothing like the tribulation that is coming to Israel. You know that I believe strongly in the rapture of the church, that at some point the Lord will blow the trumpet, give the command, and the true church of Jesus Christ will be taken up to be in glory with him. And while we're there, the people who are left behind are going to go through a terrible time of judgment. But through it all, I was thinking, since this is Thanksgiving Sunday, what would people, or what do we have to be thankful for during this tribulation period? It's such a horrible time. It's a time of judgment. It's a time of judgment. People are finally going to be judged for turning their backs on God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But I'm thankful that in the midst of this horrible tribulation, that it only lasts for 7 years, and secondly, God sends along 144,000 Jewish evangelists to spread his word, to spread his love. And in addition to that, he dedicates two key witnesses, two strong personalities, two God-directed people who are going to be in Jerusalem, and they are going to be preaching to the crowds that are there. Now, I can tell you that those who are devil worshipers or followers of the devil or followers of Satan or who have turned their back on the gospel message, they are going to not be happy with these two witnesses. They're not going to want to listen, because these two witnesses will be telling them the absolute truth. Not all the stuff that you're hearing from the Antichrist and the false prophet, but rather, we are telling you the truth. And these two witnesses, they have power in their preaching and power to induce plagues. Unbelievable. During the tribulation. Why am I thankful? I'm thankful because God's witness will be there. God's grace is being poured out even during the time of horrendous tribulation. I would just like to read three verses from the book of Revelation, chapter 11. And so both these witnesses, and the three verses are verses 3-6. Now, keep in mind, the Lord is going to give these two witnesses special powers. He says, "And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days, 3.5 years, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. If anyone, hear this, tries to harm them, fire comes from their mouths and devours their enemies. This is how anyone who wants to harm them must die. These men have power to shut up the sky so that it will not rain during the time they are prophesying, and they have power to turn the waters into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want." This is the word of the Lord. Now, I'm aware that on Thanksgiving Sunday, these are pretty dim words. They're dismal words. But yet, I want us to see through all of this that God's grace, his love, and his mercy extends. When we think about these two witnesses, the power of their preaching, I can tell you they're not going to be preaching what is popular. In fact, there are preachers today who are preaching things that are not popular. There are those who are preaching things that itching ears want to hear, which is different than what itching ears need to hear. What we need to hear is the word of the living God. And these two men, these two witnesses, they will be warning people of the disasters that are taking place during the tribulation period, and they are judgments placed upon people who have turned their back on the living God. This is very, very serious. There are people who don't believe there is a God. They've turned their back on him. There are people who believe there's a God of their own making, but they've turned their back on him. We need to worship the God of the Holy Word of God, the Scripture. That's the God whom we love and serve. They will accuse people of turning Jerusalem, God's holy city, into a pit of depravity. There are other cities in Israel today that have been turned into a pit of depravity. Tel Aviv, we understand, is one of them. And Jerusalem is not far behind. And these two witnesses are going to chastise the people for allowing this to happen. And then they will also demonstrate that man is an, they will denounce that man is innately good and improvable. Now we think, from a human perspective, that we are pretty good. And we can improve. And that's good. We ought to improve. But we'll get better and better, and finally we'll be so good that God will welcome us into his kingdom. But that's not the way it works. That's what these two witnesses are telling them. That's not the way. There's only one way, and that is the way of the Lord. These two witnesses will also outrage the people, and the people will demand their deaths. And if you read further on in that scripture passage, you'll see what happens. We'll talk about that at another time. But there was absolute power in their preaching. And secondly, there's power in what they were doing in that they were able to introduce plagues. Can you imagine? There's the plague of death, the plague of drought, the plague of disease. As opposition to the Word of God intensifies, many attempts will be made on the lives of these two witnesses. However, since their ministry is vital in the tribulation period, God will give them power to defend themselves. He will give them power that if the people who speak out against them, they will be devoured by fire that comes out of the mouths of the two witnesses. Now, I don't know whether it's actual fire that will come out or as a result of their word, fire will come down. But I remember way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Kings, that Elijah the prophet was standing before the prophets of Baal, and he commanded fire to come down from heaven. And fire came down and burnt up the burnt offering and the altar that was there, and the prophets of Baal were killed, 400 of them plus others. He had that ability. And then we read these words, if anyone tries to harm them, fire comes from their mouths and devours their enemies. This is serious stuff. It's going to happen during the tribulation period. Also, they're bringing along a plague of drought. We read in verse 6, these men have power to shut up the sky so that it will not rain during the time they are prophesying. And remember in the book of James, we see these words. The prophet prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. Now that happened in the Old Testament, referred to by James in the New Testament, but it's going to happen again during this tribulation period. Can you imagine 3.5 years without rain? I think this means worldwide, not just in Europe, not just in Israel. I think it's worldwide. There are countries today that are facing lack of water, lack of rain, and famine is occurring, and they're trying to deal with it. But when you think of it during the tribulation period, all that it's going to be, it's going to be absolutely horrendous. A plague of death, a plague of drought, and a plague of disease. I don't know if I have the ability to convey the seriousness of the events to take place during the tribulation. Now, as I said already, if I've interpreted and if we've interpreted Scripture correctly, the church will be out of here in glory, but those left behind, those who refuse to follow Jesus as Savior and Lord, put their trust in him, will be left behind. And the Scripture says, and they have power to turn waters into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want. Now, I plead with you, if you have never given your life to Jesus, seriously, I mean, giving your life to him and inviting him into your life, I invite you to do it even today on this Thanksgiving Sunday. What greater item of praise and thankfulness could you receive or give other than receiving Christ as Savior and Lord? What a wonderful gift. It's God's gift. You know, something about a gift. If you want to give me a gift, it's out of the goodness of your heart, not because I've earned it. If I've earned it or if I deserved it, it's not really a gift. It's more like payment. But your heart was so good, you wanted to give me a gift. This is the way it is with God the Father. His heart is so good, he wanted to give this world a gift. And he gave this world the gift of his Son, Jesus, to pay the price for you and for me. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. He gives it to us. And it's there for us, for the taking, simply saying, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. You're my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me my sin. Come into my life. And you can always add, make me the kind of person you want me to be. We've heard something about and experienced something about plagues perhaps called COVID. There are those who are telling us that this was the worst plague and others who are saying it was not the worst plague. There are those that are telling us the vaccines are worse than the actual plague itself. I don't know all of these truths of medicine, but what I do know is, as bad as COVID was or is, that the plagues during the tribulation period are going to even be worse. We read in God's word, the second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. These two witnesses are going to shake the world, anyone who listens to them, whether they're present in Jerusalem as they preach, or whether they're watching it by television or some other way on your computer. They're going to shake the world. They're going to shake people out of the delusion that all is well, because all is not well. They're going to convict people of their sinfulness, because wherever we are, wherever people exist throughout the world, we are sinners in the need of a Savior. And they're going to awaken the people for their need to repent. That's what we need to do. It's going to happen then. Too late for most of us then. Now we need to repent of our sin and put our trust in Jesus. Here's an important note. None of these miracles will be performed out of anger or vindictiveness. The primary purpose is to shake, to convict, and to awaken. Well, now, this is Thanksgiving Sunday. Thanksgiving Sunday, when you and I want to praise God spiritually, personally, and musically. Musically, praising God. I'm so glad when we get together, as we did this morning with the worship team, and we were able to sing praises unto God. It uplifts our hearts whenever we do. When all is said and done, every individual needs to come to the conclusion about God and his existence. Now, God either is who he said he is, or he is not. But I believe, and most who are here today, believe that God is who he said he is. And God sent his Son, the greatest thankfulness that you and I could ever have. He sent his Son to pay for your sin and mine that we cannot pay for. Yet Jesus did it on our behalf, and therefore we have all of eternity to look forward to. That's why I'm so thankful that God loves you and loves me and loves the world so much. Even during the horrible tribulation period, God's grace is going to be exhibited. People will have an opportunity to give their life to him. They'll go through a difficult time, but you and I can be spared that difficult time if we will only, if you'll forgive the expression, if we'll only wake up and give God the glory and turn our life over to Jesus, his Son. I pray that this Thanksgiving weekend will be a very thankful one for you. Our Father and dear God, we praise you, and we are so thankful. We want to be spiritually thankful, and personally thankful, and musically thankful unto you. Thank you, Lord, that we can sing praises, that we can open our services with a hymn of praise unto you, that we can sing during our time together, that we can conclude with singing. Lord, it's a wonderful way for us to worship you. We continue to ask for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, that you will touch every person here this morning at their point of need, whatever that is. It may be financial. It may be the need of a job. It may be health. It may be spiritual. I do not know what the needs are. It may be forgiveness. It may be that we need to forgive someone else. Lord, whatever that is, may this be a day of demarcation, where we will stand up to praise you and thank you for who you are, what you've done, what you're doing, and all that you're going to do. We thank you and we praise you in our Savior's name. Amen.